we'll celebrate the bicentennial of classical music greats Richard Wagner and Giuseppe Verdi with our own titan of opera appreciation, Fred Plotkin, coming up in just a bit on Travel with Rick Steves. Let's start out today in Poland, which has its own rich classical music heritage, plus sacred spaces, important historical sites, and a tourism industry that's eager to catch up with the other, more visited European nations. We have two guides joining us right now who are big fans of Poland, and they spend lots of time there every year. Esther Bokros is a professional tour guide based in Hungary, and she's been sharing the sights of Poland for years. And Cameron Hewitt's my senior researcher here at Rick Steves Europe. He's the co-author of my Eastern Europe guidebook, and he joins us to explain why he believes Poland should be right up there with France, Spain, and Germany as a destination on your travel radar. Cameron and Esther, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Think about it. What's the population and the size of Poland?
Poland's about 40 million people, similar population to Spain, one of the larger countries in Europe. And I think you're right, for how big and culturally important it is and how diverse it is, it really gets overlooked.
Esther, if you think that Poland has certain preconceptions among travelers, when they go there, how are they impressed? What strikes them unique about Poland?
I think the hospitality of the people strikes them first of all. They are very friendly, very warm. If you're invited to their home, especially, you are treated as a king.
You really are. I felt that in my last visit to Poland. It's just, there's something particularly charming about the people.
I find it so easy to make friends when I'm in Poland. I can tell you 10 stories about being on the train or the airplane, sitting next to someone who might look a little gruff at first. All I have to do is say hello, and it breaks the ice instantly. They're really interested to talk and get to know me. And
tell me one of those stories.
I was on a train once going from Warsaw to Krakow, a long train trip. Sitting in silence for quite a while, working on my computer and surrounded by just Polish people. And finally, I just said, well, I'm going to break the ice and said, dzień dobry, hello. And they were just so impressed that I knew how to say hello in Polish and immediately started chatting with me. When in this particular case, one of the people I talked to, it turned out her father was from the village that my great-grandmother came from in the middle of nowhere, 2 hours east of Krakow. I got to call her cousin Monika after that because we figured we're probably related somehow. But we ended up having a great two-hour conversation. And the fun little trade-off for that was later in the trip, I accidentally spilled a little water on my keyboard. My computer died. And her brother happened to work in tech support. So she called her brother and gave me some pointers. And I got my computer going again on that same train ride just because I'd made this new friend.
And it took you to break the ice and start the conversation. And you could have missed the whole thing had you just sat there buried in your laptop or in your magazine or whatever.
Exactly. And, you know, I find Polish people are really friendly, but there is a certain reserve. I think a lot of people kind of harden themselves during the communist period. So you do have to break the ice, but it's so easy. It's just saying hello and smiling. They can know that you're a good person to talk to.
Well, let's talk about that, because Poland has had a very hard 20th century. And Esther, to what degree has the richness of Polish culture suffered because of the very difficult 20th century?
It has suffered a lot because many writers, poets had to immigrate to different countries just to survive, or many of them were killed. Simple as that. Many artists, musicians, composers.
Either by communists or Nazis.
Yes, both.
If you were an educated, intellectual, cultural leader, you were seen as an enemy by both the communists and the Nazis.
Absolutely. And Warsaw, for example, had a larger Jewish community before the Second World War, and many of them were very educated people, and many of them were killed.
So it's quite impressive that Polish high culture survived at all when you consider what they went through in the 20th century. Cameron, can you highlight the depth of the tragedies that Poland lived through in the 20th century?
There's few countries that went through a harder time in the 20th century than Poland. And maybe you could say that about their whole history. They've got various nicknames for the country. Some people call it the God's Playground. Some people call it the Christ of the Nations for the way that it suffered and gone through terrible things over the course of its existence. For 200 years before the 20th century, Poland didn't even exist. It was wiped off the map of Europe, divided up by its neighboring states.
It's as if people didn't want to even see it on the map.
Right. And the problem with that Poland has is it's this giant flat country with very few barriers right between Russia and Germany, the two big European militaristic powers. So for centuries, the Germans and the Russians and other groups, the Swedes and the French and so forth, would constantly be going back and forth across the middle of this flat country to get to where they were going.
And when the Germans are on the rise, Poles are pushed east. And when the Russians are on the rise, Poles are pushed west. I know that the Poles have had to pack up and move. How does that work compared to what's going on with Germany and Russia?
That's exactly right. If you look at a map of Poland over the centuries, most countries, you look at a map over the centuries and a little bit changes and they add a little territory, they lose a little territory. In the case of Poland, the entire country shifts back and forth. And again, in some periods, it actually disappeared from the map of Europe. After World War II, the entire country of Poland basically shifted 200 miles to the west. big chunks of what's now Ukraine used to be part of Russia, and big parts of what's now Germany used to be part of Poland. And they just picked up people from Ukraine. They transplanted them to Western Poland, what until that point had been Germany. And all of a sudden, you've got this new country where there's people in the town of Wrocław, which is in the southwest of Poland, is populated mostly with people who used to live in the Ukraine back when that was part of Poland. They just picked up whole communities and dropped them in the other part of the country.
It's hard to fathom what they've gone through. And then, as you both mentioned, the Polish people strike anybody who visits as so warm and approachable and, you know, just positive. Esther, when you go to England and you want to meet people, you go into a pub and everybody talks and have a beer and you meet people when you go to a pub. You go to Poland, what would an American traveler do to be able to actually meet some Polish people and have a nice time together?
Probably if you go to a pirogarnia, the place where Polish people love to have one of their favorite foods, the pierogi, the stuffed dumplings.
Also a little stuffed dumpling, like a diner.
Like a diner, it can be sweet, it can be savory, and they love it, even fried or cooked, it doesn't matter. They love to eat it in these special places, which are called pirogarnia.
So that's a good word to know, pirogarnia.
Absolutely. And something you must try when you're in Poland.
Cameron, tell me about an experience you've had in a pirogarnia.
You know, this is just a great kind of the little like corner hot dog stand or kind of the local traditional food. And there's several great ones just scattered around back streets around all these cities. There's one in Warsaw that's just off the main drag that runs right through the middle of town, half block off of that main street. This cute little hole in the wall where people are just eating these really traditional pierogi, these little stuffed dumplings.
Probably really cheap, too.
Really cheap. It's you can have a great meal for $4 or $5.
75 cents.
Yeah, exactly.
We're exploring Poland right now on Travel with Rick Steves with two well-informed admirers of the country and its culture. Esther Pokros has been taking tour groups around Poland now for years from her home base in Hungary. And Cameron Hewitt honors his Polish-American heritage as a researcher who updates the Rick Steves Eastern Europe Guidebook every year. And he's also my co-author on that book. You know, when you sightsee in Europe, you go to a lot of churches, and most of the churches just feel empty and only still open because they're tourist attractions. Go to Poland, the churches are alive. They are just primarily living places of worship, and a tourist is welcome to go in, but you have the sense that the Polish people have a very strong Catholic faith. Esther, talk a little bit about the strength of the Catholic faith in Poland today and how it helped them get through their hard times in the 20th century.
Polish people have been Catholic since the 9th century after Christ. So ever since, it has been essential in Polish everyday living. So they find that it's important to follow the Catholic tradition in their everyday life. So they do go to churches. You never see a rundown church in Poland. People do maintain them because they go there. They teach their children, they educate their children to follow the Catholic traditions. So it's, for example, not accepted that young people just live together.
Okay, so they have more strict religious values.
They have more strict religious values.
And young people are generally...
They also follow that. Probably not the latest generations, not the young people in their 20s today. But other than that, absolutely. It's important to keep the Catholic festivities as well. And if you go in Poland on any road, you will see lots of little shrines with Virgin Mary because she is the patroness of Poland. And it's always beautifully decorated, all of the shrines. That is also important.
What would you say some big pilgrimage site in Poland would be? Is there a monastery or something where you can feel the power of the people's faith?
Absolutely. The most important pilgrimage site is in Częstochowa. That's the name of the city. But in fact, the monastery is called Jasna Góra.
Częstochowa.
Częstochowa.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Silesia. So that's in a very industrial area.
Okay.
But Jasna Góra, it means Bright Mountain. That's the name of the monastery. And it was incorporated in the city of Częstochowa. And in there, Polish people must go there at least once in their lifetime.
Really? Why?
Because it is associated with healing and special power, the Black Madonna, which is there. And she's been there since the 14th century. And she's been brought there from Palestine. And she was supposed to protect the whole monastery, this icon. It's an icon which is said to be painted by Luke the Evangelist himself, and it's turning darker and darker and darker over the years. She has 8 beautiful dresses, which is done by the nuns. The monastery is actually an active monastery run by Polish monks.
Mm-hmm.
Polish is a connection actually to my country because it is the only order which was established in Hungary.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And the Hungarian king sent his daughter to marry a Polish prince. And with her, the monks went to Poland. So they got to this monastery. And why it is important for Polish people? Because this sacred place gives them the power to believe that they can recover from a serious illness. They can ask for help for their families. It is a big privilege for children to have their first communion in this monastery. Priests from all over Europe go there to pray and to see the Black Madonna. You can have a guided tour all around the monastery complex. It has a fantastic treasury with religious relics. It even has, for example, Lech Walesa's Nobel Peace Prize. He donated it to the monastery.
Now, there is an indication of how important that is to modern Czech people. This is Częstochowa, C-E-S-T-O-C-H-O-W-A or something
like that. Yes, Częstochowa, because in Poland, if there is a little slash below the E, that's an N.
Okay. Now, Cameron, when you think of your experiences as a traveler in Poland, how has the church sort of impacted your sightseeing?
One thing I really notice in Poland, relative even to other nominally Catholic countries, is any church you go into is just absolutely jammed with people worshiping. It's really a living faith there. People really practice it, feel it deeply.
And Pope John Paul II was from Krakow.
Yeah, Pope John Paul II, Karol Wojtyła was his Polish name. He was the Archbishop of Krakow, and that's where he sort of made his name as someone who stood up against the Soviet regime. It's interesting that we had a pope from Poland who came from a Soviet upbringing, basically.
Who sort of oversaw the fall of the communist regime.
And a lot of people credit him as being one of the main inspirational figures in bringing down communism. And it's interesting, too, that Catholicism is so important there. Compared to other communist countries, they didn't close the churches in Poland. They closed churches or converted them to other purposes in other countries. I was just in Russia, and in one town I was finding out this church was turned into a museum, this church was turned into a concert hall, this one to an ice hockey rink. In Poland, they didn't dare do that because they knew how important it was. They knew if they closed the churches, there's no way that the Poles would stand for it.
And I understand throughout Eastern Europe, during difficult times as they were the pawns of the Soviet Union, people would join the Catholic Church, not necessarily for religious reasons, but it was a relatively safe way to show your opposition to the communist regime.
And it was both, particularly in Poland. It was both something that people largely believed, but also, absolutely, it was a symbol of dissent against the communist regime.
There's a lot more to Poland, including your calls for Esther and Cameron coming right up on Travel with Rick Steves. Then we'll find out about this year's big opera and classical music anniversaries with Fred Plotkin. We're at 877-333-7425. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.